2020. Here we are, embarking on a new year, new journey, new things laid out ahead of us, and wow, to think of the potential of the new year. And I like to think of it that way, the potential of the new year. I don't know what 2019 was like for you, and maybe it was more of a challenge than good. Perhaps it was the other way around. But the nice thing is, here we are, 2020, laid out before us, the challenges of a new year. Leading up to this moment, boy, there's been a lot of prayer, a lot of anticipation. When I was hired a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, I told the deacons and search committee, I said, you know, I really want to be able to go one full year of ministry with our church and look at the way that we are structured, look at the way we do things, and pray for God's leadership based on what I've seen and what we've been able to discern. 2019 had its challenges. It was a formative year for us. It was something that for us was a matter of adjustment. You've adjusted to me. I've adjusted to you. And things are getting better all the time. And we're excited about the anticipation of the future, what God holds for us. But today is laid out to us, and all over, I promise you, all over the place today, there are a lot of similar sermons going on talking about 2020 vision. I can promise you that. Today really is going to feel a little bit less like a sermon to you and a little bit more like a seminar. I hate to say that because that might turn off some of you, but I don't want you to think of it that way. But the only way that I could structure this in a way that I felt like you could feel what I'm feeling was for it to be that way. I've got a pointer up here today. I don't normally do this, okay? So if you go to sleep, I'll warn you, I have a laser. See it on the ceiling right there? And I know how to use it. All right. When lasers came out, I was one of those bad kids that used to sneak into school and shine it on people in class. So I know how to aim this thing at a great distance. Dixons, y'all got that? All right. I'm watching you. Vision. When you think of the word vision, what comes to mind? There are a lot of things that crop up. And, you know, the first thing you think of is this. This was one new adjustment for me. Y'all see me doing this, right? And these are reading glasses, and it looks like I'm headed toward regular glasses, but boy, this has bothered me because my vision has gotten progressively worse. Where I have had, and verified with my family, I've had 20/15 vision all of my life. 20/15, not 20/20, 20/15. That's better than normal. And when I started seeing things blurry, I just started blaming it on poor production. You know, the can I was reading in the grocery store, I thought, well, look at there. They made that label blurry until I realized I was the problem. Well, vision is that way. We sort of think we understand here and there about vision. And a lot of times what we're not willing to do is go, well, is there any corrective things I can do? Are there things that I can do to help my situation get a little bit better? So here's what I want us to do today. I want us to open our hearts. I want us to open our minds. I want us to open our vision, as it were, before God and say, God, would you please help me to have clear vision about the future for myself, for my family, for my ministries, and then for our church? What is it that God would have for us in the days ahead that would be helpful to us? Now, you guys have started to understand that I do things a little bit differently. I'm very detail-oriented. I like to see a very clear plan. I want to see a plan of attack. I want to see details. I want it to be administrated and spelled out for me in an organized way. That's just how I operate with my personality. And today is basically trying to do that. Now, here's what I know. This church has had an absolutely dynamic past. It has been incredible to watch how God has used this church down through the years to see so many people touched for Christ, so many families that have been pointed in the right direction. The impact this church has had on families in our community is wonderful. But we can't let the past decide our future. We have to have a vision that is for now and for the future. Now, what I'll say to you today is in no way earth-shattering. To be able to take things that the church has done in the past and to say it all has to be new would basically be reinventing the wheel. I understand that. We operate off the Scripture, and the Scripture has been one thing our church has always done well. We have been a very scripture-founded church. So what I will say to you today may for some of you just be a repeating of things that you've heard in the past. But I wanted to take those things that I think our church does well, as well as some things that I think I have noticed over the past year that our church needs some direction on, and to mold those things together into basically a game plan. You see, every business that exists has some type of a structured plan, a business goal-oriented plan, with it spelled out in detail. If you go to any sports team, has a game plan. It is detailed. They work toward that. By the way, I haven't heard any of y'all say congratulations that my team has made it to the college playoffs next week. Nobody has said that to me yet today. I don't understand it. But thank you very much. I appreciate you noting that today. No, I'm not kidding about that. Y'all upset me out there. Vision. Let me get myself back on track for this vision. So here's what I want us to see. I want us to understand something. You remember the name Zig Ziglar? How many of you remember that name from the past? He was a coach that would go around and coach businesses and in the corporate world especially, but had tremendous impact as a leader. And here's a quote that he said, "If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. You will hit it every time." Is there a way to bring the lights down on the screens? Because I'm afraid some of my images may not show up well unless we can bring the lights down on those just a little bit so it doesn't get washed out a little bit. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And I think it goes that way in the church world. We need a game plan. We need to think about who we are and where that leads us for the future. And so here's a verse that I pulled out of the scripture. This goes right along with what we were saying there. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Here's what I and the staff want you to know going forward in our church, that we are going to be properly planned and that we are going to be organized in a way that shows our hard work and it shows that we have some goals in mind, some things that we are thinking through more than just making hasty shortcuts. I don't want it to be said of our church and our staff that we throw things together at the last minute and we just kind of cobble it together and get it done. I want us to be able to think things through in a way where we can absolutely give our best and be a church of excellence in everything that we do. And I think this verse is very fitting for us to wrap this in today, Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So let's look at a next step here. You probably saw this teaser come about last week in the bulletin. I don't know if you saw that or not, but this is what we put in there just kind of as a teaser for today. And this basically says in a nutshell exactly what I want to break down and explain to us today. What we do has these thoughts in mind. What we have participated in the past has these thoughts in mind. But having these things structured for us thinking into the future about how we're going to engage locally in our church and how we're going to engage on the streets of Albany, Georgia, are wrapped in this vision goal for 2020. You'll notice one other thing here at the top of this. I don't know if you noticed this right here last week, but this is actually a new logo design for our church. We have several different ones that include the church name and different colors and things like that. But this is actually a new logo that we have designed for our church and that you will start to see pop up on different things. It was one thing that we just didn't have in place for our church that we've been working on over the last several months. And so you'll see this. You will see this available to you very soon so that you can help participate in advertisement for our church. Now, the business world will call that branding, okay? They would say, how are you branded? How are you marketed? Now, I know that sounds very business-like, but churches are no different. How are we? If anybody said, what is the logo for First Real Baptist Church? We can't tell you. Because we don't have one. We aren't branded that way. If I said to you, what's the logo for McDonald's? What would you say? Anybody got that one? You probably went by there this morning and got your sausage biscuit. And you went right underneath the what? There you go. You went under the golden arches. So they have properly branded themselves over the years. and we want to participate in a branding of our church, an image that pops up in mind for our church. So be aware of that, and you'll have opportunity to help that via a mug, a t-shirt, a hat, or anything else we can get you to carry out into the world to display our church. So Vision 2020, and you'll notice that this looks like an eye chart because it's helping us to get our vision clear on what we're going to do. And here's the four things I want to mention to you today, which are gather, grow, give, and go. Now, vision carries with it a sense of a couple different things. I want you to notice two things that I think are going to be important as we think about vision. Number one, conviction. And I think our church does this very well. As you well notice, we've got our website up to par, and we've got it in shape. And one of those things we've got on our website is core beliefs of First Free Will Baptist Church. If you do not know who we are, if you do not know what we stand for, our core beliefs, it's there for you to visit on our church website. I encourage you to do so. So vision carries with it a knowing what you believe, a firm conviction in what you believe. Our Sunday school class today kind of went through some of those things. And if you're following along the D6 curriculum, you saw today we talked about some core beliefs, some truths that are unshakable to what we believe. And that's what I'm talking about. Very, very firm in our beliefs. But it also carries with it one more thing as well. It carries with it passion. You can believe, say that you believe everything. I mean, you can give me what you believe, but unless I see you very passionately behind those beliefs, I have a hard time believing what you're saying. Yes, I believe that, and you can say that about anything. I believe that a Ford vehicle is the best in the world. They're the best vehicle. But you know what? I'm gonna look at what you're driving. Do you believe it by what you're driving? Do you back that up? And it's no less in the way that we operate here in our church. We say what we believe, but is there passion behind what we believe? In everything we do, I believe it ought to be said of us that we are passionate. And here are some ways I think we can show that we are passionate. Passionate in our relationship with God. If I ask you today, what is the most important relationship to you today? It ought to be, as a believer, your relationship to God. More than anything else, I desire to have a passionate relationship with the God that I serve. Secondly, passionate in worship. When we come in, I got to tell you, sometimes I stand over here and I'm scared to death because I'm looking around going, man, we're not very passionate today. When we gather together corporately, sometimes I feel like we're not very passionate in the way that we worship our God. We don't get excited at all. It just seems we float along in our Christian life and we don't show passion in our worship. I believe we ought to be passionate in our discipleship. Let me ask you, when's the last time you've learned something about your God or what you believe? Do you read at all, more than just the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Can you show me in your life that you are a passionate disciple, that you are learning about your God? What have you learned new in the Christian faith? That's being passionate about it. Being passionate in evangelism. When's the last time that we have reached out, that we have talked to somebody about our church and engaged them to try to see them come to church or see them come to know Christ? When is the last time you have proven in your life that you are passionate about evangelism? You believe everybody needs to come to Christ. Is that correct? Say amen. I know you believe it, but does your passion show that you really believe it? And then also passionate in missions. I'll get to this in a little bit, but our church needs to be passionate in missions. Listen, and it's something our church has done well over the years, and we have to continue to be passionate about reaching our own, but we also have to be passionate in reaching out. So taking these thoughts, taking these four tenets of our church, things that we need to be doing, I formulated that into a mission statement for our church that I want to share with you today. And here's what you will see start to pop up on our website, on all of our literature for our church. What do we believe? What is our mission statement for our church? From what I've been talking about, here it is. Let's look at it together. As members of First Free Will Baptist Church, we will gather to encourage the saints. We will grow to learn the heart of God. We will give sacrificially to build His kingdom, and we will go into the world so that all may know Him. So wrapped in those four things, with this little bit more verbiage here to kind of put some teeth to it, this is who we are. This is what I see for our church. This is how we can be saved and become a disciple of Christ, but then prepare ourselves to serve him well in this world while it is our time. What can we look back to and say, this is who we are and this is how we function? Here it is. I would love to see all members of our church memorize this. So I'm challenging you in the days ahead to memorize the mission statement of our church. What makes us who we are? So let's break that down then. Let's take that mission statement and break it into the four facets. Again, gather to encourage the saints, grow to learn the heart of God, give sacrificially to build his kingdom, and then go so that all may know him. Let's break those down one by one. Okay, here we go. First of all, let's gather. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day. You'll notice the capitalization there, drawing near. I want to be busy serving Christ, and I know you do too. As we see his second coming getting nearer and nearer every day, I want us to gather. I want us to listen to the command of Scripture here and gather together. Now, what does that mean? Let's break it down just a little bit further then. First of all, a commitment of our present membership. Does anyone know here approximately what is the membership of our church? Does anybody have a clue what the membership of our church is? If you do, say it out loud, what you think the membership of our church is. Don't be embarrassed about it if you think it is. Okay. Now, most of us will answer that question based on what we see, and you've done a pretty good job of guesstimating our church attendance. But did you know that the First Real Baptist Church membership is actually above 550? Did you know that? That still say First Real Baptist Church that we are there, that they're members of our church. Now, every year the deacons gather in February and we have a retreat, and we actually, from that membership, have to dismiss members that, because of inactivity or for whatever reason, we have to take them off the roll according to our constitution, and we will do so again this next month. But according to our membership, we still have about 550 people that say First Free Old Baptist Church is their church. Are you asking the same question in your mind that I'm asking right now? Mm-hmm. Where are they at? Where are they at? Okay? So the very first thing that I want to know as a pastor is, where are you at? And when you're gone, I can promise you, I want to know, where are you at? Now, a lot of times, it's fine. I mean, you go see family, you go to the lake, you do this or that. But here's something that I want to know in the next year. If you claim the name of First Free Will Baptist Church as your church, then gather. Gather to church. Make it a part of the routine of your family to be at church when you're here in town. I just don't see it any other way. Do you see it another way? I want our present membership to be committed to gathering at our church. Now, here's what happened. We moved from that building over to this building, and we started to fill this building, and then it started to slide. Now, I want you to look at the empty seats here. There is no other way to say this today but say that we have a lot of folks that claim membership to our church that are absolutely unfaithful to our church. Unfaithful. For no reason. They'll sit home. They'll do everything else. But they won't come to church. And I'm going to tell you, does it bother your staff? It absolutely does. It drives us crazy. I'll tell you why. Because we try to reach out to these same folks for every other reason of their life. We try to participate in their lives when they have things going on. And can we say we would like them to reciprocate by just coming to church? Yes. So we want to reach out to our present membership and try to encourage them to be a part of things or go on. Because we want this ship to be moving forward for Christ. And I would like to see a deeper commitment to people to our church. Can I hear an amen to that today? I think you feel the same way I do about that, but I want to see something else. I want to see a coordination of a second week team. Now, I say I want to see. This one is already in action, okay? We have, with some help of some folks that I've talked to, have already formulated a second week team. Now, what in the world is that? It's exactly what you would say. Listen, during our last year, you would probably be surprised to know the number of first-time guests that actually came through our doors. We had a significant number of people come through our doors during 2019. But where we have failed is getting them back the second week. We have a hard time getting people to return. And this is something that our staff is desiring to correct and find out why. And that's why I have formulated a team that I call a second week team. And our desire is to find out how we get them back a second week. Now, that includes folks that are saved or unsaved, that are looking for a church or whatever. The second week's team, their whole goal is to reach out and figure out how it is we can get people to our church. Now, this goes into advertisement. This goes into digital media, social media. This goes into signage on our buildings. This goes into a welcome center that's going to be built. This goes into all of those areas that have to do with when people walk into our church, what do they think? What are they thinking? What are they processing at that moment? That's what the second week team is. It's underway. You'll start to see some things about that as we go along. But also collection of new members. Listen, shockingly enough, something I've discovered this year is the fact that there are some of you that are here this morning that are not members of our church. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? But we know who you are. Okay? There are some of you that come every week to our church and are not members of our church. And I got to say again, I don't understand. I don't understand. If you would say, we are your church, why have you not joined yet? So, how are we going to correct that? Well, we're coming after you, okay? You're going to be getting a phone call. You're going to be getting talked to say, hey, you need to join the church. You need to become a part of this thing. Get on board, and let's go together. And along with this is actually going to be a membership class. And we have begun to restructure some things. And here's some ways that I see us getting new members through salvation. This is the biggie. This is what we really want to be doing. Now, I'm grateful for anybody that comes through our church doors, but the primary purpose that the reason we exist as a church is to reach out, and I'm going to get to that soon. But through salvations, we want to get new members. Amen? We want to see people saved. And that's the most exciting thing that can happen to a church, but also through rededication. Some folks have just been away from God, and maybe they've been faithful in the past, but we want to see these people reclaimed into our membership through rededication, through getting right with God, whatever that may mean. And then also through church seekers. Some people have been disappointed in churches in our area. We want to give them a reason to come to our church and come back. We want them to walk in and so feel the love of God here that they say, you know what? I'm going to check that out again. Man, I felt God's presence in that building today. I was well received. Somebody made me feel like I needed to be there. And we want to reach out to these people who are church seekers. Now, I'm not saying we're going grabbing people out of every church, but you know what? Here's what I will say. If we do it better than a church across town, I don't mind them coming to my church instead. Okay, can I be honest with you today? But here's the fact. If we ain't doing it right, guess what? Somebody else is going to get our members. So I'd rather them be in my church than their church, wouldn't you? Okay, that's just how it is. We can say that we're not competing in the church market, but we would not be saying the truth. We are competing in the church market. So we might as well be the best version of ourselves that we can be, and we can get new members through church seekers. All right, another thing about gathering, though, is communication of all church events. Now, some of you, you kind of roll your eyes because you know we've changed up the bulletin. We've got YouVersion that you can follow along the services. Some of you are following along today. You're following on our church app. We've had the church app design, and we've got all this digital stuff flying around. Some of you use it. Some of you don't, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But here's one thing that we're trying to do by all of that, okay? Can I tell you, in a word, why we are doing all of that? It's for communication. We want you to feel like you know what's going on with our church. And our staff will tell you that when we go to staff meetings, one thing I always ask is, has your stuff been turned in to the secretaries? Have your things been turned in to the office for your planning? Right now, I have required of our staff to turn in at least 3 months of planning, all right? That is a short-term goal. This year, at June, our staff will be required to give 6 months of planning. By the end of the year, starting in 2021, our staff will be required to turn in a year worth of planning. Now, you say, that is absolutely, I've never heard anything like that. Well, it's actually the norm, okay, for churches that operate on that level, and that's what we want to do. We want to be so structured where we can properly plan, and the reason we properly plan is that so you can know how to plan your family and know what's going on at your church. Because one thing that drives me crazy when people say, I didn't know that was coming up. I've already planned to be out of town with doing this or doing that. I want to be able to give you things so far in advance where nobody can come to me and say that happened. Because they knew it, and if you decide to go, then that's on you. But I don't ever want it to return to us. So properly planning in all age groups and all categories and everything that we have going in our church is important to me. And I want to communicate it well to you. It might be on paper, it might be on the website, it might be through texting, it might be through emails, it might be through whatever venues. We are going to get you the information. I promise you, we want to make sure everybody knows, and we are working hard. So part of gathering includes communication of what's going on. All right, let me move quickly to a second thing, okay? And you'll see the structure and how this kind of flows. Let's talk about growing. Okay, now I'm not talking about, again, what the gathering part. This is actually personal growth. Why is it important? This is why it's important as a believer. The Bible says, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I won't take time to get into the background of why this was written in the book of Peter, but they were fighting some heresies and some false teachings that were being taught. And the Bible said to them, so be on guard so that you won't be carried away. And here's what I know. We want to properly prepare you spiritually at this church. We want to train you so that you can grow and not be carried away by false doctrine, so that you will be grounded in Christ. Some of you, listen, some of you are there. I mean, you've been there for a long time. But we don't want to just assume that everybody is where they need to be in their knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and what they should believe and be able to follow. So we want to be able to help train. That's what I'm talking about when I say grow. We want to properly help you grow in your Christian life. Here's how we want to do that. First of all, through membership classes. Now, this is going to be coming up soon. When we're done writing the curriculum for our membership class, everyone that joins First Free Will Baptist Church will be required to go through a membership class with me or one other teacher, okay? And this will be a structured course over several weeks where they have to participate in it so that they fully know who we are, they fully understand our core beliefs, and that they get on board with our church mission statement. They have to say, I agree to those things, I believe in those things, and I want them to feel a sense of belonging through this. And so membership classes will be coming, but also something else through discipleship groups. Now, this is something we've been working on. You notice we've had focus groups and these things come through. But here's some things that we already have in place. Sunday school, or what we have started terming life groups. Listen, I love Sunday school, all right? It was the original small group, in my opinion, and I think it's a wonderful tool. We're going to continue Sunday school, and we may mix up some things that we do time to time, but we are going to continue because it is a great place to learn about Christ. By the way, you'll notice that our attendance for church is always significantly higher than it is for Sunday school. I haven't looked at attendances for today, but my guess is we're probably 60 to 75 people here in church, higher than came to Sunday school. So those of you that did not come to Sunday school this morning, can I put out an advertisement for Sunday school? All right, can I do that? Go to Sunday school! There's my advertisement. The reason I say that is because that is such a relaxed time when you can get together and study the Word of God deeper than just showing up to church. I appreciate you coming to hear us preach and sing, but you can learn so much more and be involved with a smaller group that can help to take care of you and can help to keep up with you and your family, and you can participate. We've got it all set up for you. See Pastor Mark. He can encourage you. He can show you what our classes are like. Go to Sunday school. All right, he didn't pay me to say that, but he ought to. Okay, focus groups. This is something we've been doing on PM services and on Wednesday nights. And listen, we've been trying to prepare curriculum and materials for you guys so that you would have options. Every Sunday evening, I'm teaching something. Somebody else is teaching something. Right now, it's Pastor Mark and myself. Wednesday night, I teach a class as well. We have these different times where we have focus groups and we do different material, some ways that you can help to learn. Find a way that you can participate and grow. Listen, if I know anything about believers, they just need a little push. And the extra push for you would be coming to one of these extra times. I hope that you personally are growing in Christ. I'm assuming today, all right, probably shouldn't do that, but I'm assuming that you already have your personal devotions in place. If you don't, then back up before number one and get that in place, all right? That should be in place as believers. But added to that is finding a time where you can come back to church and learn. Now, I warn you going ahead of time, this has been a problem area for us, all right? Our numbers have dwindled significantly on Sunday night. And one of the first things the search committee asked me when I came here was this: are we going to continue to have Sunday night services? Why do you think they said that? They said it because we're hardly having anybody that shows back up on Sunday evenings. And this is how I responded to them: I'm not willing to quit doing Sunday night yet. That's what I said. I said, now, I don't know what our future holds, but I want us to give it a good try to do what we can on Sunday nights to re-engage. I realize there's things planning for the next week, the children especially. I understand there's a lot of reasons why people give to not come back on Sunday night church. But I also do remember a time in the past that when I was here 15 years ago, when we still had 150, 175 come to church on Sunday night. I remember it, okay? And so I know that it can be done, and we are going to keep mixing that up until we feel like it. We get it right. We want to prepare you through these focus groups. So we're going to keep trying on those things, and we will communicate to you what we're going to be doing. And then also through peer groups. These are the activities that our church has. We try to make sure that every group has some type of activities going on. And this is a reason why our staff is told they have to plan out ahead, so that we make sure there are structured activities that are well communicated to you, so that little Joe knows what's going on and he's going to his little party with the kids, on up to the prime timers who are going to eat at the back porch. When is that? Because I want to make sure I go to that. All right, the 17th. Susan, you're not a prime timer, but we are going to the back porch, though. We're going with you guys, so just go ahead and plan a place on the bus for us, all right? Hey, that was planned. It was put in the bulletin. It was prepared for. It was communicated to the church. And we want to do that with your peer group so that you feel like you've got somebody you hang around of your age and you can participate in. So here's some major, listen, I want to give you some major church events that our church, that we, the staff has planned. We did an annual planning, and this is what came from that. This is not all inclusive. Do I need to say that again? This is not all inclusive, all right? These are just some highlights from some things that we formulated this year. Rejoice College is coming on January 19th. We have a marriage enrichment weekend on February 12th or 13th. You're going to want to come to this, all right? If you are a married couple, you're going to want to participate. The couple we have, Donnie and Trudy Miles, that is coming to do this, they are bananas. They are so much fun. You're going to want to come, okay? So please plan this in and be prepared for it. March 7th and 8th, International Missions Weekend. Anybody know somebody named Debbie Griffin? Anybody recognize that name? All right. Longtime missionary, great speaker. One of the only women that I would let take my place in the pulpit. And I'm a little nervous about it because she will out-preach me for sure on that day. I already know that. That weekend, we have an auction that will benefit missions through our women's ministry. She's going to be there for a banquet-style thing. She's going to be with us in the morning service, and she's planning to go back to Japan to serve. We are excited that she was able to work this out with us. We're having an international missions weekend on March 7th and 8th. April 11th, Easter at the Park. We had over 500 people that joined us during the event that we helped to coordinate last year at Tift Park called Easter on the Park. You may not have known that. It's a way of us getting out into the community. We're doing it again this year, April 11th. May 3rd, celebrate our Children Day here at church. We are going to emphasize our children, and we're going to have a blowout completely surrounding our children of our church. And I'm excited about doing that this year. May 16th, we're having a car show here at church. It'll be a benefit car show. We're talking about where that's going to go. But we've been talking about it forever, so let's quit talking about it. We're going to do it, all right? My Sunday school class is actually going to be participating in putting this on. But make sure you got these dates on the calendar. July 5th, Freedom Sunday. Last year we did this with the Anchorage. How many of you were here for Freedom Sunday last year when the Anchorage came and did the service for us? Wow. Man, I left here choked up. I cried my eyes out during that service that day. It was awesome. We've secured this date with the Anchorage again for this year, for July the 5th. It's going to be wonderful. Also, here August the 9th, celebrate our students. This is going to be the older children, okay? And not just the children, but we're bouncing to the student ministry that Stephen, by the way, he has the flu. Pray for old Stephen. But Stephen participates with our students, doing a great job. August 9th, we're going to celebrate our students. August 23rd, celebrate our leaders. We're going to have a big cookout for everybody in our church that has a leadership position or an officer position at all. September 19th, Women's Ministry Conference. The Shine Conference was this year wonderful. They're going to be doing something again, so be ready for that. Also, our homecoming and outreach event, we're combining Back to Church Sunday with homecoming this year, and we are going to go after it with everything in us. I've heard it last year. I heard so many of you guys say, man, nobody comes to our homecoming again. This year, we're going after it. We're going to reach out. We're going to get people here. We're going to make it a big, big day. So plan for that. November is going to be our Heart of Thanks Thanksgiving month. You see how we mentioned that to you. This year, we participated in a lot of giving in the month of November. You guys hit it out of the park. And we want to do it again. This benefited our missionaries in the way that they are still shocked about. We want to do it again in November. November 9th, celebrate our Vets Day. We're going to have a blowout surrounding our veterans. November 22nd, Heart of Thanks Banquet. We're going to try to make that bigger than we normally do. December 20th, we're going to have a Christmas production. Our new staff member that we're hiring this year will be taking care of the details of that. He doesn't know it yet because we don't have one, but I put this on the calendar for him. We're having a Christmas production this coming year on December the 20th, and we're going to make it as big as possible. By the way, be in prayer. Our candidate review committee is meeting with one of our two candidates this afternoon. And we're going to be interviewing this person. I've already had my own personal interview and checked all the references. This afternoon will be our first of two interviews, and Wednesday will be the second interview of our other candidate that we've narrowed down to. So listen, I'm asking you, please be in prayer. We're excited, and we hope to be having a meeting by next Sunday to gather our thoughts and come to one. We're already shaking our head going, oh man, this is going to be hard. So pray for us, but that just kind of goes back to the Christmas production thing. All right. There's the grow. Those are ways you can grow. You're not going to grow unless you engage in spiritual eating. Okay, did you hear that? You're not going to grow unless you engage in spiritual eating. How much are you eating spiritually? Okay, here we go. Let's look at giving. All right, and this is something that, listen, I'm proud to be a part of in our church. Here's what the Bible says. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. You know, how much? All right. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. This is what we want to continue to do through our church. Has God been good to you today? Man, He has been so, so good to us. Our total giving for 2019 might shock you, $731,617. Now, if you want to look at your flyer, you can see where our budget needs were, and you'll see that we far, far, far exceed our budget needs in this number. We put together all designated gifts, anything that flows through the ministries of First Free Old Baptist Church. This is the figure, $731,000, and that's pretty significant. And we want to continue to participate in giving on this level. But let me say to you ahead of time, don't give reluctantly. Don't hedge that way. Don't give because you feel pressured to do it. You continue to give as a church cheerfully, as a lot of you do. You're all, listen, when I say, hey, we're having a special offering, you guys are always the first ones to go, let's do it. And by the way, we'll engage in this next Sunday. We have a need. Patty Rainwater, and you, those of you that know Patty and her family, had just a terrible situation, and Brendel and her daughter, now Patty and Jack, are living with her outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and talked to her last week, and I talked to the deacons about this, and we're going to take an offering. We may not see them back here again. I mean, it's just how life has taken them, and she's trying to survive and take care of everybody. And I think it's the least our church can do. And we're going to take a love offering for Patty or for the family, for Brendan and the family. So be ready for that next Sunday. You guys have done great about that. Every time I say that, I can see you guys go, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to help them out. We're going to help our own. So I appreciate that. And here's some ways we can do this. To our local church, tithes. Listen, if you don't tithe, I'll guarantee you with our membership, and I am not overstating this, if our membership of 551 people, or whatever it is, 550-something people, really tithe just 10% of their income, I'll guarantee you that our giving just in the tithes would exceed $1.5 million. I'll guarantee you it would. Guarantee it would. Stats prove that over and over and over again, that most church members do not tithe 10% of their income. And I know that our church is no different. So here's what I'll say to you as your pastor. If you're a member of this church and you believe everything I've said today and you have been involved in this church ministries, then going forward, you need to settle this in your heart to tithe the way God intends. We could do even so much more if we would just all participate in tithing. So get it settled in your heart. Talk to your spouse. Whatever you've got to do to say, this year we are going to tithe because we believe it. We believe it is scriptural. We believe we should be doing it. And I pray that God will help us to be engaged in it and do what we're supposed to do. Can I hear an amen to that? I'll close my eyes. All right. We also can give to mission causes. We do this well. I don't want to reiterate this too much, but to missions causes. Here's somewhere that we do shine. It was asked to me in a business meeting last year how much we give and are we cutting the mission giving. And I said, no, we're not cutting the mission giving. We're going to try to do better, as a matter of fact. We're going to try to see that increase. And so here we go. We gave over almost $55,000 to missions this year through our church. Can I hear an amen to that? That is a great figure. You guys did this. You did this. You gave to missions in a way that is significant, that will impact the kingdom. And this is not going to go down. I see our church doing this and better in the days ahead because we are going to continue to engage in mission giving. Then we give to the needy. We just mentioned to you an example of that. We've given to several needy causes in the past year. And there will be time to time when you hear the pastor stand up and say, we got somebody that we need to help. I heard something I have never heard in my life last Sunday. I was in a church in Eastern North Carolina, and the pastor stood up in the pulpit, and this is what he said. I haven't talked to the deacons about this. I haven't talked to our leadership about this. But we're about to take our offering this morning here in our church. And you know what? We don't really need it. We don't need this offering this morning. Our church is in incredible shape financially. So unless one of our deacons or someone wants to change my mind about this, I want to see all of our offering today go to benefit two families that are in need. Or he said something about benefiting. I can't remember how that part went. I think it was two families he was talking about. But he said, I want all of our offering today to just be given away. And I did one of those, and I thought, I have never heard a pastor say, we're not going to keep the offering, the whole offering. Can you imagine if I were to be able to stand on the last Sunday of 2020 and say, you know what? We don't need today's offering. We don't even need it. Do y'all mind if we just give it away? How cool would that be? How cool would that be? Man, I'm going to tell you what, that's why I'm asking you to do this, engage in giving, so that we can get to a place where our needs are met locally, but with a bigger picture in mind so that we can reach out to missions and reach out to the needy and reach out in different ways that we never thought we could because we are so generous in the way that we give. All of us came here today driving vehicles, and we got all the bells and whistles, and we got all of our $700 phones. We go home to a 200-channel TV package. Y'all want me to go on and make you feel guilty more about it? I'll be glad to. You know, some of us went through Starbucks today and got a $4.50 latte on the way to church. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. But I'm telling you what, if we're doing that instead of giving it to God's kingdom, then brother, I do have a problem with it. That is misplacing our priorities. God's money should be first. And then God says, listen, you give to me and all your needs will be taken care of. Doesn't the Bible say that? I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And God is rich. He's going to take care of us. One more thing I want to mention to you is special projects. We have been a little bit stymied in this one. Because as you well know, one of the first things that was put on my plate when I came was a budget that was crippled. And I was asked, here you go, fix this. And I looked at the numbers and said, but they don't add up. And the finance board got together and we looked at that and said, you know what? We can't rob anybody, so we're going to have to do a major cut. And if you remember, our budget for last year had to be cut by over $130,000 to get us back in line with our expenses. And we did it. We did it. We also made some more significant cuts this year to supply the money necessary for our new staff member. And we are in good shape. We're looking good. But here's what happened, though. Because of what we did, it pretty much took special projects out of the budget. And we're going to need some things going ahead. All right? We've got a good, healthy budget that our pot of money, can I call it that? Our capital fund that will take care of taking care of our buildings. But that is not necessarily a special project fund, okay? Push came to shove. It's there for an emergency fund, but that's not what it's designed for. So we want to do some other things. We want to increase our ministries. We want to have a true welcome center in our vestibule. I told the search committee one thing I would love to see is a cafe area that we can enjoy together and engage in. We all drink coffee. We come around here, and there's 45 carafes that are made of coffee every Sunday. I'm looking at that going, we already have a cafe area. It's just chopped up into pieces. Let's get it together, and let's put it into a nice place where we can build something together and hang out, and it will also give me, as your pastor, a place where I go engage and meet with guests, first-time guests that come to our church every week. I want somewhere to go meet them, and that's where that would be. Talked to several of our trustees, and we agree that the perfect area would be right between our buildings right here. We have a great area for it. By the way, some good news that you'll want to know, we actually had a benefactor come forward that wants to pay for it. And it looks like we have enough money to accomplish that without having to dig into our coffers at all. So you'll be hearing more about that, but that's a special project. I believe if God's people are faithful, we're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen, but he wants to see if we are faithful in our giving. Okay, let's wrap this up, shall we? You're looking at your watches, put them away, all right? What we're saying today is important because this is the life and blood of our church, and we'll get you out of here, okay? We're going to go as a church, all right? You probably knew, and you were hoping I'd get around to this. We got to go. This ain't going to cut it. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're sitting comfortably in your pew. But that ain't going to help us. And that ain't going to help the lost get saved. As a church, we have got to go. Now, how are we going to do this? The Bible says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Now, that's an interesting verse to me. And it makes me think of how Jesus said this. What in the world was he talking about? Why would he have said he was sending out his disciples in this manner? Well, here's what I believe that we've got to do, and I'm breaking into two areas. First of all, we got to be outreach-minded, okay? I think you know that. We have to have the lost on our minds. We have to engage those that don't know Jesus. They've got to be on our minds constantly. Something that's brought to our attention all the time. You'll hear me do a lot of preaching about evangelism this year. Reaching out to our community, reaching out to our families, reaching out to our coworkers, reaching out to anyone around us, being so driven into our minds that we've got to participate in going. All of us can share Jesus, so we've got to be outreach-minded. And here is something that I think is very good. Came across this quote. If you're going to reach people you've never reached, you are going to have to do things you've never done. Now, you ever thought about that? The folks that we have not been able to reach as First Free Will Baptist Church, as we are today, Some of those folks we'll never be able to reach if we just continue to do things the way we do right now. It's not going to work better this year than it did last year. So we have got to figure out ways to reach people in a new way. We've got to figure it out. And I want you to pray with the staff as we decide about outreach events and how we can connect with our community that makes people feel comfortable enough to come through our church doors and listen about the message of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not just personal evangelism. That's something we've all got to do, but we got to figure out a way to draw them in as well. So we got to do some things that we've never done, and that's going to be coming, okay? And then we've got to be outreach-driven. We've got to be driven by this. We have to feel under the burden of the lost. It has to make us sad, truly sad, again, that people are dying in their sins. Today, I'm not sure that we care anymore. I'm not sure that we really understand, and that doesn't really bother us, and we don't really think about lost people anymore. And I'll ask you to dig in your heart right now and ask yourself, do I really care about lost people? How much have you thought about lost people in the last 7 days of your life? Does it really bother you today? And folks, we got to start right there. We've got to be outreach driven through our church, concerned that people need to come to Christ. Now, here's our statistics for last year. Let's see where we are, okay? Let's see where we really are. We had 10 salvation and baptisms and decisions last year, okay? Saved and baptized last year. That's wonderful. I am grateful for those that were saved last year. I'm so grateful that I get to put on my waders and get in the baptistry every so often through our church. And I'd love to see a lot more of this. This is last year. We had one new member join our church last year. Anybody know who it was? Raise your hand back there, Mr. New Member. Raise your hand. There he is. Did y'all even know that? All right. One person joined our church last year. Now, I told you I'm coming after you, so that's about to change. But, Tripp, you're going to have some friends soon. I'm sorry, man. You're the only member we have right now, I guess. 551. All right. Here's another stat. For Sunday school, our life groups, 162 average for the year. And our worship attendance. And I've asked a bunch of you over time, what do you think our church averages in attendance? Without fail, most of you would say between 250 and 300. That's what I always have said of us. Here's the true numbers for last year, 232 for our worship services. I understand last week kind of helped drag this number down quite a bit. I was gone as well, but this is it. That's rubber meets the road, 232 for our average worship attendance. So what are some goals? Now, we talked about who we are and some things, and then how can we set, what goals should we set? And I would say to you as a pastor, what I'm about to share with you is an at least kind of thing. At the very least kind of thing. I like to start low and go up and praise God for the accomplishments. So here are some things I've been praying about that if we don't have this, it's going to crush my spirit going in after we look back on 2020. I want us to have 10 salvation experiences. Another 10 salvation decisions at least in our church, at least, so that we know that something's stirring in our heart and we are reaching the lost. At least 10 salvation decisions. I'd like us to take in at least 20 new members this year, at least. And I know we can do it. I know we can do this. At least 20 new members into our flock. I'd like to see our Sunday school attendance, our life groups, increase by at least 20 on average. And listen, that could be remedied just in this room here today. There would be 20 right here that could engage in Sunday school and life groups. And then I'd like to see us at least have 20 more average in our worship services at the end of this year. Now, these may seem like small goals, but according to the statistics of the past of our church, the past 10 years, all right, we've not met any of these goals in the past 10 years. I'm just giving you the honest truth. We've not met any of these goals for 10 years in our church. Most of these have been negative figures. We've got to find out what's going on. And through God's help, we've got to get on a new path to try to help us re-engage with those around us. I don't claim to have all the answers. Absolutely not. I can't tell you how many times I lay awake at night and I beg God for wisdom. I am absolutely be the first one to say today, I stand before you absolutely in humility. I have no clue. I mean, I pray to God and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. How in the world can I lead our church to reach people again and to get on a path of growth? And I've heard, and I know there's churches in our area that are struggling. I don't know what is going on with some of our churches in our area. Our state Free Will Baptist churches are in horrible shape. Something terrible is happening. It is the normal for churches to be in this same type of thing, same type of environment of non-growth and even going down. We've lost so many other churches this year in Free Will Baptist just in Georgia. That number continues to dwindle as well. Men won't get into the ministry. How many churches in our area still don't have pastors? Y'all know this, right? Large churches in our area still don't have pastors. I don't know what's going on. But here's something that I find interesting. There are churches that are growing. Y'all know that, right? Now, most of you don't, maybe you don't participate, you don't get to see that. But some of you do when you travel, you actually go to some churches that you see that are growing. And that makes me stop and go, well, what's going on there? And why can't that happen with us? So here's what I promise to you. I can't go out and find out how. But I'm going to find a way to find out how and why and what in the next year for our church. And it, with everything in me, I'm going to come to you and say, here's what I believe we need to do. Some of it, you may go, what in the world is he thinking? And I can promise you, here's what I am thinking. I want to see our church get re-energized and re-engaged in reaching our world so much for Christ, where the temperature gets so hot in this church over here that everybody wants to know what is going on. I want to be a part of that. I want to see what's going on there. I want to be that church that's growing. I want to be that church that's winning people to Christ. I want to be that church that's giving in a way where we can give away our offerings. I want to be a church where people come and pray and accept Jesus. I want to be a church that promotes itself well and live for Jesus in such a way they want to be a part of it too. Don't you want to be a part of that? Man, come on, don't you want to be a part of that? I want to see it happen again. This church has seen growth in the past. I was here during some of those years when we were over 400 and we were seeing numbers. We were seeing everything was going. I want to see that again. It's not something that has to be in the past. And I'm praying that God will give us fruit for our labor. But I'm afraid we're going to have to back up. We're going to have to redo some things. And we got to get energized again. Listen, some of you have been in this church a long time. And you are the ones that got it to that level. You are the reason that this church had its best days in the past. And I say to you today, thank you with everything in me. Thank you for getting us to the health where we are today. You paid off these facilities, and I still don't have any clue how you did that. Thank you for getting us to where we are today. But to those of you that are the younger generations today that have the health and that have the pocketbook and that have the desire, I'm asking you as your pastor to get off your pew and help me do it again. I can't do it alone. I can't visit every person out there. I can't make a phone call to all 550. I can't engage everybody in Albany, Georgia. Your three hired staff members can't do it either. The church has got to get back off its pew and get engaged in winning people to Jesus and going after them with everything in us. Everything in us. I want us to be passionate again for those things. And I'm going after it. With or without you, I am going after it. And I pray that the temperature would get so hot in this building that people who feel uncomfortable with what's going on and they don't want to participate in growth things will get out. And I mean that honestly. We want people to get engaged with our church and go after people and not be lazy in Jesus. I see no place for that in the scripture. And I'm praying, listen, some of you have expended your energy over the years and you can't participate like you were. And I know you're praying that somebody will step up to the plate. And so on your behalf today, I'm saying to the rest of us, let's get it going. Let's get it going. It's time for our church to engage in this new vision for 2020. Pray for us. Help us. Be a part of it. We put it out there. Don't stop and say, well, I don't know about that. How about have another attitude about it and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to be engaged in it. And if it doesn't work, we'll throw it out and do something else. I promise you that. We're not going to do anything needlessly or recklessly or something. We're going to do everything on purpose in our church to try to see some things go forward again. We're going to gather. We're going to grow. We're going to give. And we're going to go. Y'all say those things with me? Let's say it together. Let me get you over to the last point here so you can read it until you memorize it. All right, we're going to say those four words together. You ready? We're going to gather. We're going to, and we're going to, and we're going to close out this service by begging God to give us the vision and to grab a hold of it and to engage like there's no tomorrow. We got to do it. We got to do it.